Blog Talk Radio.
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneckinize, all things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
What's going on, truckers? Hey, this is Ed with Redneckinize Radio, and we're just getting a late start here, but that's all right. We're going to get on it, and I'm going to get on YouTube Live here, and we'll get going. There was a couple of things going on in the news, and they were just talking about, you know, the economy is slowing down and everything, because when the... You know, and it's funny because it's like, I don't think anything's going to change, but once the numbers come out, people start freaking out and they start moving their money around, and that affects, like, you know, investing and everything. So it's kind of weird that way. Just like when the laws change with taxes or whatever like that, it's always something different like that. So there were a couple articles about that, and we're just, you know, checking that out. Says jewel thieves likely tracked the truck to the Flying J where it was left alone. There you go. See, and then they're still going to talking about speed limiters. Of course, that's what's going on too. But see if I can do this. Yeah, that's it right there. Cool deal. So, yeah, we'll cover this article here. I was going to go over this article and see what that looks like, and we'll check things out. I know there was another thing I was going to do, too, also is last time, whenever you watch the news, they keep talking about, like, you know, back in the day, they haven't had things this bad since. And then I was listening to some old music, and it's like, well, you know, some of the music you hear sounds exactly like what we're talking about today. So I was like, I wonder if it was really that bad, or maybe it was worse. And you just never know, you know? Let's see here. And I was looking. I was looking at a couple of songs, and the one that strikes you funny is like Hank Williams Jr., "Country Boy Can Survive." So that song came out in 1981, and that's kind of during that time that, you know, things were pretty bad. And when you listen to the lyrics, I mean, it's like. And that's exactly what they're talking about right now. It's like, you know, it's the stock market and the economy. And then he says the Mississippi River is going dry. I mean, that's, you know, global warming, whatever, you know, it's like crime. It says you only get mugged when you go downtown and that kind of thing. And then, you know, of course, the whole thing at the end of the song where he talks about how he's got a buddy from the New York City and $42, you know, he got stabbed and all that. So, yeah, I mean, that's what's happening is crime is going crazy in these big cities, and, you know, went through the defund the police kind of thing. And one guy up here yesterday on the news, he said it's not Gotham City crazy, but it's pretty bad, you know, as far as crime level and all that. And I thought that was interesting and everything. So let's see. What I was going to see is... Oh, yeah, okay. So I know the song came out in 1981. And it says federalreservehistory.org. It says the economy officially entered a recession in the third quarter of 1981 as high interest rates put pressure on sectors of the economy reliant on borrowing, like manufacturing and construction. Unemployment grew from 7.4% at the start of the recession to nearly 10% a year later. Now, see, so when So let me, but I'm not going to close this. I'm going to go off on another one. And what was it? 2008 crash employment rate. Again, it says the collapse of the housing bubble in 2007 and 2008 caused a deep recession, which sent the unemployment rate to 10% in October. So 10% employment rate. Long-term unemployment rate continued to edge down. And see, so when we talk about because the interesting thing about that was that the president, you know, the administration, White House, whatever, you know, they come out with different statements and everything. And they were talking about how if the numbers come out, the GDP, which is how you, whether or not we're in a recession or not, they said that's not exactly the whole thing. And you got to have the unemployment rate right now. Right now, we're still sitting at like, you know, 3-point-something%, less than 4 or still less than 5. Everybody says anything under 5 is good. Is really good. To me, the difference between 5 and 10, I don't know. It didn't seem like, I mean, I was a kid in the 80s, and everything, it didn't seem that bad. You know, I mean, I don't know, maybe it was, but I mean, my parents still had jobs, you know, and everything. I remember my stepdad, the business that he was in charge of, like he was working for a giant retailer, and they went out of business, and then he started his own business. And next thing you know, boom! You know, it's there was a market for what he was doing. So it's like he found something. So you know, and it was a struggle because as a business owner, you struggle. But I mean, you know, eventually you buy a property and then you make money doing a business off of that property. And then when you go get ready to retire, the property's paid for, and you sell the property, and then bam, you know, so. But see, yeah, I mean, so this, the numbers on all this stuff is not, you know, let's see. In 1981, inflation in both retail and primary markets slowed to the lowest pace since 1977. A consumer price indicator. All urban consumers moved up 8.9% following increases of 13.3% to 12.4% in 1979 and 1980. So 1979 to 1980, which, of course, before the song came out, it was 13.3% to 12.4%. Because that's a lot of inflation. We're at 9 right now. So that 8.9 you're talking about. So it still could go that way. So that's pretty interesting. All right. Well, let's get on some YouTube and we'll have some fun. Oh, you know what I'm going to do?
Hey there, truckers. Welcome to Redneck and I. All things trucking and then some. Hope you enjoy the show.
The preacher man says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. Interest is up and the stock market down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown. I live back in the woods, you see, a woman and the kids and the dogs and me. I got a shotgun, a rifle, and a four-wheel drive, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Hey, what's going on, everybody? Hey, this is Ed with Redneck and Irons Radio. We're here live. It's Tuesday, 7:26. And we go live every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time. You can call in at 515-602-9731. And be part of the conversation. Just hit one, or you can just listen along. And we're also on YouTube Live. Appreciate everybody joining us for that. And you can go subscribe to YouTube channel. We appreciate everybody doing that for us. And also, just check out our website, because we got a lot of links to a lot of cool things and just, you know, pictures of what we're up to and what we've been doing. And you know, whenever we do get something planned officially, we put it up in there and let everybody know. But we're just gone here on the radio show doing talking about trucking stuff. And then, of course, you know, just talking about things on the road and what's going on. And listen to some good music.
We came from the West Virginia coal mines and the Rocky Mountains and the Western skies. And we can skin a buck, we can run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
So the economy is all in the news, you know, here in the last few months or whatever like that. And of course, it's so funny because the media just leans to the left so much. And of course, now that we got, you know, the leftist Democrats are in charge, that when the numbers look bad, everybody's like, well, they're not that bad. They're not that bad. You know, it's like, you know, we're not doing, I mean, this is not an economy in recession. Are you kidding me? We're doing great and everything. So I was like going down the highway last night and this song came on the radio. And I'm like, man, this song is exactly what's going on right now. Talking about people getting hurt, and it's because of the economy and because of the powerful people. And it's like the people that are actually surviving, the people that don't care. They just get up every day and do the same thing. And that's the old country people. Like I said, country boy can't survive. I always said all the time when, you know, like environmentalists or any kind of like elite rich person always talks about how, hey, I can, you know, what are we going to do? This economy is bad. We need to do something, you know, we need to do something like that. And I always say, you know, it doesn't bother me. You know, if I lose my job, I can go get another job. I'll do whatever it takes to work. Or if, you know, I got to, I'll go out and I'll get my own food. You know, I'll build my own fishing pole or whatever I need. You know, it's like I may not know exactly how to do it, but I'll figure it out. I'm not going to give up. And that's what, you know, it's like country boy can't survive kind of thing, you know. And you see that. You see, that's exactly what we're facing these days is you know, all these elitists out there saying, I can fix it. I know what I'm doing. I can fix it. Just trust me. And we're going to spend some more money. And it's like, dude, stop that. Stop spending money. You know, it's actually, if you just stop spending money, then the economy will start doing a whole lot better, because then you open it up the doors to everybody just doing what they need to do. You know, let's drill where we need to drill. Let's build what we need to build. You know, right now the economy is on the brink right now because they're afraid that China is going to invade Taiwan. Taiwan is like 95% of all the superconductors in the world are made in Taiwan. And so now they're saying if China takes over and gets those superconductors, then they'll be in control of all that. We can't let that happen. So they're all freaking out. But with Democrats, see, they don't like, you know, the gun. They don't like guns. So they're not going to do that stuff. You know, they're going to just try, diplomacy, you know. Nancy Pelosi was supposed to go to Taiwan, and all the Republicans are like, good, go. Be strong. Don't kiss ass. And then the State Department and the Department of Defense and everybody was telling her, don't go. You know, and the White House was urging, don't go. And it's like, she's actually willing to do something here to go visit, maybe, you know, talk to somebody. And Biden's like, no, don't do that. don't tick them off, you know. And so one of those foreign policy experts, I forgot which one it was, he wasn't even, it was on one of these other news outlets that I watch, and he actually came on there and he said, actually China's doing a really, really smart thing. because they're actually trying to make their own superconductors right now, which means they're making them in China where you can't really get to them. They're theirs. They make them. They're not as good, but they are knockoffs, and they're making superconductors. And then they're threatening to invade Taiwan. Now, unless the United States Navy surrounds Taiwan and says, you ain't getting over here, you know, unless we arm them like that, then they're just going to keep like saying, you know, we're thinking about it. We're thinking about it. We're thinking about it. Well, what that does is if the United States doesn't act, then he says that the strategic thing to do was for Taiwan to microwave and nuke like their whole superconductor supply. Like just go ahead and you know, flick the EMP or whatever and just fry them and make them useless. That way the Chinese can't get to them. And he says, and that really benefits China, because if China is one of the only other countries making superconductors, then once Taiwan fries all their superconductors, then where do you go to get superconductors? You got to buy them from China. So he's like, China's going to win either way. You know, they're going to invade and nobody's going to do anything, or they're not going to invade, but people think they are. So they're going to destroy their, you know, valuable property, you know, on their own, you know. So, man, isn't that crazy? Something like that, man. It's something crazy. All kinds of stuff. So, other than that, you know, what are you going to do? So there was a couple articles about truck driving and what about the economy and everything like that. So I figured I'd dive into that a little bit. And before I go any further, I want to thank one of our great sponsors, and that is Load to Ride Transportation. You can check them out at ltrtransportation.com. And there they are right there. Or you can give them a call at 720-277-0030. Great little trucking outfit based out of Denver, Colorado. And all the drivers I talk to say they're drop-dead busy over there. They got plenty to do, and, you know, they're running good miles. And everybody seems to be pretty happy over there. So there's you can see some pictures of them, their trucks and their people, and they got some good stuff. You can, like I said, check them out online, ltrtransportation.com, Load to Ride Transportation. Appreciate all their support for Redneck and Eyes. And it's pretty awesome. We're all excited about that. And so let's see what I was doing. What was the other? So there's another one that just came out. Number one song on, what's the name of that? Is it iTunes, I think? Yeah, iTunes. So here's the number one song right now.
A hole in this country where its heart used to be, and no glory is divided on fire in the street. They say building back better make America great. If that's a wave of the future, all I've got to say, stick your progress where the sun don't shine. Keep your big mess away from me and mine. If you leave us alone, well, we'd all be just fine. Stick your progress where the sun don't shine.
Yeah, this is John Rich right here. So yeah, John Rich, from, remember from Big and Rich?
They invite the whole world to come live in our land. Leave our countrymen dying in Afghanistan. They say, let go, Jesus, let government say. You can have back your freedoms if you do what we say. Stick your progress where the sun don't shine. Keep your big mess away from me and mine. If you leave us alone, well, we'd all be just fine. Stick your progress where the sun don't shine. Shut down our pipelines and they shut down our forces. shut down our Main Street and they shut down our choices. And it's all over, but it's all over now. We figured it out. We ain't backing down. Stick your progress where the sun don't shine. Keep your bigness away from me and mine. If you leave us alone, well, we'd all be just fine. Stick your progress where the sun don't shine. Where the sun don't shine.
So yeah, that's John Rich from Big and Rich, and that's number one song on iTunes just over the weekend. So that's the kind of stuff that's going on right now, and he's just talking about, really, it's a lot of the culture war stuff he's diving into there. And then, of course, you know, spending money and everything like that. So yeah. So I want to dive into this article. It's on Axios. I remember other commentators on news media and everything talking about this website. And I think this is one of those, you know, I don't know, just seems like... I remember Ben Shapiro saying one time one of the reporters was just a total crap. So, you know, they do a lot of different things, and it's got a lot of different sections. I'm looking up there, like, there are different sections, and, like, they break it down to, like, different politicians, different movements, you know, different, like, you know, they got to even hear Black Lives Matter movement, you know, immigration. And then you come down here to the world, and it says Ukraine, China, Afghanistan, Iran, Russia, Israel. They all break it all down. And it says science, space, extreme weather, energy and environment, climate change, climate truths, alternative energy, oil companies, electric vehicles. So, yeah. They got it all, don't they? But anyway, in this article here, it says, what trucking tells us about the economy. And I've always heard it when I listen to the news a lot of times, in the trucking industry especially, they always talk about it. You know, OIDA always has in their news coverage about how if you look at the statistics for trucking as far as, you know, the rates and everything, you can almost predict the future. And it's kind of, it's always seems that way because, you know, at the very beginning of the pandemic, rates just plummeted. You know, they went down to, like, you know, pennies on the dollar. And then you saw, like, right toward when we were coming out of everything, you know, rates were sky high, you know, and freight was sitting. They couldn't get enough drivers in there. Well, what happened is a surge came around where a bunch of trucks said, you know what, let's go out there, let's get some trucks, you know, and then they couldn't get trucks. Next thing you know, you can get $200,000 for a $100,000 truck, and went up to $200,000, and then the manufacturers, they didn't have any trucks, so you couldn't buy any new trucks. So used trucks were going for like $100,000. So, and now I think you see that coming back down. You just, you know, and what happens is the inflation rate keeps going up, and it's just because the like Federal Reserve and the federal government, everybody's hooked on spending. Everybody wants to spend. I mean, really the only guy you got out there trying to save anything, because he's fighting for his own political future. And that's that Joe Manchin out of West Virginia. I mean, it's like, he doesn't really care. He just doesn't want to lose the election. And he knows that he's the only Democrat in a red state like that, you know. And it's so funny to me, because what's going to happen is you're going to see most of these Democratic or these Democrats that got voted in as senators or Congress in like the purple or red states, you know, kind of like down there in Georgia where, you know, both senators ended up being Democrat and everything. They're just going to get wiped clean. I don't care what the polls say. They're going to go down. They're going to go down hard. And it doesn't even matter. It doesn't even matter. The whole country right now is just mad at the Democrats because that's who's in control. And you're going to see it. You're going to see it. They're just going to go down. And I could be wrong, but, you know, that's my opinion. Is not only, I mean, it could be, this could be, if the media was actually fair, you could be like, you know, there could be like 75 Republican senators in the Senate by next term, because, you know, if they were fair and covered it, because you got Fox News covering inflation and covering crime, and you got CNN covering January 6th hearings. I mean, that's, you flip the channels back and forth. That's what you see, you know. And that's kind of what I do to try to get a balance of what's going on in the world, is I flip back and forth like instant. Like, just don't watch something 1 hour and watch something the other hour. Go back and forth. Go back and forth and see, you know. And I even noticed that CNN goes to commercial way more often than Fox News does. You know, that's amazing to me. MSNBC is just a list. MSNBC just has commercials with a couple of minutes of news in between. I mean, they're just always at commercial. It's just, you, if you actually sit there with a, I mean, and I did that a little bit. I had, you know, a clock in front of me and just looked at the minutes. And, yeah, they're always at commercial. So yeah, check it out. Don't believe me. Go check it out for yourself. It's crazy. So this article here, let's see what they say, because according to a lot of people that, you know, I listen to, they say this is kind of like a far left leaning kind of thing. So let's see what they say. It says sky high freight rates are falling, pinching truckers' income. And that tells an important story about what's going on in the economy overall. Why it matters: nearly every good consumed in the U.S. is put on a truck at some point. Right now, there are hints of a slowdown in demand. Meanwhile, supply has been stabilizing as a flood of new truckers entered the industry to cash in on the ultra-lucrative boom that sent paychecks soaring. And, you know, that's what happens. And anytime the rates go up, you know, there's a lot of people that kind of, you know, they kind of milquetoast around a little bit, and then they see a boom, and next thing you know, they're hiring, you know, 5 to 10 drivers with, you know, they got trucks sitting. Some people, I mean, I've known truckers that, like, actually, you know who it is? It's like mechanics. Like, I've known a couple of mechanics that own trucks, and they'll run those trucks when it's good. And then when the rates go down and they can't get a really good rate, they'll park them, and they won't run them because they're older trucks. They maintain them. They're mechanics, so they keep them up that way. But if it gets too expensive, and then the rate, if you can't just call the guy up and say, you know, if he's got to fight for the rate, then he just parks the truck. He don't care, you know. And you're like, what about the driver? I mean, that's business, you know. That's the motto of Redneck and I. Nothing personal, just business, you know. And he doesn't look for that, you know, $100,000 a year driver anyway, you know. In fact, there's a lot of drivers that do that as well, where, you know, they live out there. Just country boy can't survive, right? They live out there back in the woods, and, you know, they grow their own food, and they hunt, and they make their own wine, and every now and then they get a phone call saying, hey, man, can you haul this load, you know, up to Nebraska for me, and I'll pay you good money. And he makes good money, and he don't have to work for another, you know, month or two. I mean, that's just the way they live. And when I was working in the training department, people would come in, new drivers. They never driven truck before. They're brand new students. They go out with a trainer. You know, they're hunky dory, happy. They get their own truck, and they pretty much will just live in the truck and live off their cash advance. That's all they care about. They don't care about anything else. And you, as the supervisor in the office, you know, I gotta crack a whip to get them to do what I need them to do. I said, listen, here's the deal. The company says you got to run at least 8,000 miles a month to keep your benefits and to keep your job as a full-time job. If you don't do that, then they will park you and take the truck from you and only let you work so often. So if you want to stay in that truck and keep that truck, that's what you need to do. And I had drivers like, sure, no problem. So they would like, you know, so how many am I, you know, and they would get 8,000 miles a month, and they would, you know, go home, take some time off, get out of the truck, or they would, you know, just piddle around. and decline freight, you know, and say, oh, it's unsafe, you know, and all that. That's, I mean, that's what they did. They didn't care. You know, I mean, that's, there's people out there, and you know what? They're survivors. That's what they do. So, so when you try to, you know, lucrative, yeah, there's people out there that'll just sit on their hands and wait for the rates to go up, and they'll come out there and work real hard, make a lot of money, and then as soon as rates go back down, they're done. They'll get out. You know, they won't even worry about paying any kind of taxes or anything. You know, they're the one, they go, they make their money and they run. So yeah, that's possible. It continues on here. It says, between the lines, much like the debate around the broader economy, freight watchers largely fall into two camps. Some say the industry is simple, coming into balance after 2 years of unsustainable activity. Others say the sector is rolling over and a freight recession with harsh consequences for some truckers is imminent. What's going on? One signal lies in the spot market, a live indicator of what it costs to book to book the load capacities on a truck. And it says larger firms tend to use contract rates. They take cues from the spot rates, but with a lag. It says where prices are negotiated farther in advance. Now, we know that, too. And let's see. It continues on. It says excluding fuel, spot rates have plummeted by a sharp 30%, but remains above pre-pandemic levels, according to FreightWaves. To see prices deteriorate by one-third in 3 months is pretty dire, says the site's CEO, Craig Fuller. Says prices go up when the market is tight. Says with high demand for goods and limited trucking capacity to move them. Says but prices fall when the opposite happens. Demand slows down with more trucks in supply. And that's what happened during the shutdown, during the lockdown. You know, places were closed. No freight was being hauled. And there were so many truckers out there that the brokers said, you know, hey, who's going to do it for less? And they kept taking low bids. And next thing you know, it got down to like 80 cents a mile, you know. And I'm sorry, that's one of the downfalls of our trucking industry. And, you know, we get our buddy Greg on here all the time. He'll tell you, too many people out there willing to do it for nothing. And that's what breaks the rates down. And I think that, you know, I was talking about the guys that cash in and then they just quit. Once it gets too low, they're just out. We need more like that. We really do. Because you can't just say, oh, I got to run it. These bigger carriers, they do that. They will run it really, really cheap just to keep trucks moving. Because what their fear is, they don't want to lose drivers for lack of work. And so they'll lose money keeping their drivers moving, keeping their drivers paid so that they don't, because hiring drivers is expensive for them, the big, you know, huge carriers with tens of thousands of trucks. So, yeah. Analysts say for rate drops will be explained by a further slowdown on the demand side as the consumers back off on spending on goods, hints of which we've seen in retail sales and factory surveys. Now, a Walmart actually came out with a deal saying that they're actually having to lower some prices because inflation has caused the items to become too expensive. And people are like, you know, I ain't, you know, there is a breaking point. You know, they're like, I'm not buying that product for that money. You know, so Walmart's like, you know, they get the product and they mark it. Nobody buys it. So a couple months later, you got to sell it. You know, you got to drop it down. Says the drop off in freight rates may be a good sign for inflation. Though fuel prices remain high, the slump could use a shakeout and the smaller truck operators facing a collapse in revenue. It says high fuel costs have been running in their high fuel costs have been running in their face. Prices have been falling and they have a high cost of operation. That's not a good combination for staying in business. And that says Jason, what was it, Seidel, a freight analyst at Cowan. And it says what they're saying. It says we had a freight recession in 2019 and 2015. Did that mean that people were losing jobs at an alarming rate? Companies were going bankrupt left and right? Not necessarily, says Stifel analyst Bruce Chan. And, yeah, I mean, so we remember all that because I think it was 2019, OIDA had announced that more owner-operators went out of business or more, you know, more independents went out of business. Like they said, that was the sharpest decrease of carriers. You know, more carriers closed up around 2019 than any other year, and I think that was just because there were so many. You know, that in 2016, you know, after the big, you know, there, like you said, it goes up and down, and when it went down 2015, it came soaring back, and like, you know, some of those years, like I remember 2014, some of the people reported that was the best year that they had in 2 decades. You know, so you know, you see that it's, you have a really good year, and then next thing you know, like 2021, you can go out there and make money. Now 2022, you're not so good, but it fluctuates, and it always come up and down. So we can predict now that through, especially through the rest of the year, it's not going to be very well. It's not going to do good. So that's one of those things. So, but I don't see it staying down for long. But you could definitely see the freight rates are going down, and you know, all these numbers coming out. And like I said before, when the economy just kind of goes along, does its own thing, that's fine. Nobody really cares. It's just that when they see the reports, like all these big money guys in Wall Street and all that, the report will come out. And they'll move some money around. And next thing you know, that affects investment on different things. And then next thing you know, the bank can't lend money because the investors took that money out of the bank. So the bank can't lend money to a guy that wants to start a business, or maybe if it's even like, you know, Tesla or Donald Trump wanting to borrow a bunch of money, you know, the bank can't do it because they don't have the backing from the investors. Just like oil. Oil slows down. They said it before. They said if when the price of oil drops, people take their money out of oil. So when the politicians say, hey, oil companies, drill more, they said, we can't. We don't have any money. All these people sold all their stock. We're operating in the red because we don't have any cash to go do anything. We need to borrow money. Borrowing money right now sucks. So they're like, no, we're not doing anything right now. We're just going to, you know, we're going to put our head in the sand. We're going to ride it out. And that's what you see, you know, so what has to happen is you're going to see regulations change, and then you're going to see people start investing back into oil and gas. And then that's going to come up. Jobs are going to grow back up, and you're going to see numbers come back. The whole world revolves around the oil and gas industry right now. I mean, let's just face it. That's what makes the world move. So you can't, when you try to limit oil and gas production, because you won't let any other thing like nuclear or whatever do electricity for houses and stuff, you know, it's always going to be affected. Everything will be affected. You know, even Teslas are being affected by all of this environmental stuff because you still need electricity. And the electricity is being produced by, you know, either coal or natural gas. That's the plants that make the electricity that you have in your homes. And that's how you charge Teslas. And when you plug too many in and you don't have enough electricity, everything shorts out. So this winter might be pretty rough because when they shut things down or they have a slowdown, people need heat. Everybody's talking about how this heat wave right now, it's so hot out there, and we don't have air conditioners. Germany, people don't have air conditioners because they're like they don't need them. They might need them, you know, for a week or two once a year, you know, and that's it. They don't need air conditioners all the time. Well, now they need them, but now there's none to be had. And the government says, no, you can't have them because we're environmental friendly here, and that's bad for the environment. So there you go. So yeah, it's that's what, we know for a fact that when you bring in this hard left agenda of slowing down natural gas and oil, that's what slows the economy down. That's exactly what it does. So the bottom line is in earnings call this week, the country's biggest trucking firms confirmed that the pandemic area gravy train has slowed, yet none pointed to a catastrophic slowdown. Well, of course, because it's not. I mean, people still going to HEB. People still going to the grocery store. People still going to Walmart. People still, dude, I was at the beach. Beach is packed. people are out there going, I mean, they're having a ball. And they got all kinds of stuff. They got the shade cloth and the ice chest and the beer, and they're out there cooking and everything. So, ain't nobody hurting. Nobody hurting. You know, I mean, that's who's going to drive the economy is the people. And if the people don't feel the pinch, then, you know, I mean, that's what it's about. You know, here where I live, there are refineries. And they're still doing. I mean, it's not like a big problem, you know. They're just having to buy their oil from another country, and the prices go up. And you see, prices go up. Here, it's only like unleaded is only like $3.40 a gallon, which is pretty low, and it's kind of come down on that too. It's the other states where it's really high, where they have a lot of regulations, and there's a lot of cost to doing business. And if you live in California or New York or any kind of big city like that, even Florida, you're going to have some high gas prices. But, you know, here it's so funny because one of the big owners of all of the oil reserve, like the land and oil and oil mineral rights, there's a bunch of landowners that own the rights to the oil. So as the oil gets drilled, they make money. And it so happens they live in one part of the county over here, and those gas stations always have the lowest gas, the price gas. And it's weird to me. I was like, wonder if it's because they, you know, they live on that county and they, or that business is on that county and those people live over there and they funnel money, or I don't know what it is, but it's always cheaper over there. And it's like, well, it costs more money to get, you know, 'cause it's like actually over there by the water and there's no refinery over there. You got to truck it in from somewhere. So it's like, that's not, I don't know. It just don't make no sense to me. I just thought it was funny. That you know, the family that gets all this money from the oil reserves, they live over here. And if you go to the Walmart within 2 miles of that area, the gas is always cheaper there. I don't know. Unless they own the Walmart. I don't know. They could, I guess. It says there's little pockets of softness that really weren't anticipated, Landstar CEO James Crowland told analysts. And it says, adding two-step verification. No, that's not. What am I looking at? And that's it. Yeah, it says, the bottom line, in earnings calls this week, the country's biggest trucking firms confirmed that the pandemic area gravy train has slowed down, yet none pointed to a catastrophic slowdown. It says, there's little pockets of softness that really weren't anticipated, and that's it. I mean, you know, that's the Landstar CEO, which means that he's like, We knew it was going to slow down. We just didn't think it was going to be that bad, but it wasn't really that bad. It's like that's what it all boils down to. But yeah, this article was pretty interesting, I just always like it when these kind of like political or mainstream websites do an article about trucking, and it really you know, it, they kind of touched on a couple of things. You know, I would have thought that. You know, this right here just makes you say, you know, these CEOs and all of these like so-called industry trucking experts and all that, and, you know, how the hell you get that job? Because you don't know what the hell you're talking about. Like I said, we're just out here surviving, and we know what's going on. And when things go sour, we just park the truck. That's what we should be doing. We should be, if you can't, like trucking, you should have a truck paid for. You should have it where it's sitting there and you can, it's a tool, and you shouldn't have a lot of expenses for that tool. You shouldn't. And I mean, like I used to be an owner operator and I got out of it because I'm not that good of a mechanic. And I was like, you know, this, as the truck gets older, you're going to have to work on the truck. And you know what? Paying somebody to work on it is expensive. So you got to be able to work on it. And so I would always say the best owner operator are those guys that can work on their own truck. And everything, all their expenses are pretty much covered. And then they always know that, you know, if the rate goes down to where I can't make a good amount of money and pay my bills, then I'll just park the truck. And that's kind of what needs to happen. More and more of that needs to happen. Good stuff. So just like the song says, country boy can't survive. So. So here's another one that I thought was always interesting. Oh, you know what? Whenever I sit and talk too long, my devices kind of disconnect from each other. This is always another interesting one about, you know, the world going around and how this came about. So I think this came out about the same time that Country Boy.
I ain't looking for the simple man. They call me a redneck, a reckon that I am, but this thing's going on, the man down to the core.
And see, this didn't come out until 1989.
Like the dogs that make ends meet. There's crooked politicians and crime in the street, and I'm madder than hell, and I ain't gonna take it no more. Tell our kids just say no, and then some panty waste judge lets a drug dealer go, slaps him on the wrist, and it turns it back out on the town.
And you know, in 1989, I mean, you had a good decade of Republican control. You know, Reagan was in charge from 1980 to 1988, and then Daddy Bush took over, and you know, the economy wasn't that great, but I think Reagan was a pretty good expert and a good spinner of economy stuff. I mean, he was a natural born economist, but he also was the 80s. Really, what it did was it was one of those foreign policy successes where, you know, we did everything that we thought we could do to make things better, and actually, you know, taking down the Berlin Wall and everything was like awesome. So that kind of thing. I thought that Trump was going to be doing something like that too. I thought Trump, you know, he did basically by actually, you know, not necessarily standing alongside Israel, but actually putting his hand around them and saying, this is my buddy right here. Anybody out there got a problem with Israel, they got a problem with me. And what it did is it forced, because Iran was being so crazy, all of the other, you know, because what in the Middle East, you got the Muslims, they got the Sunnis and the Shias. I don't know which is which, I forget. But what do you call Saudi Arabia and Iran? They're at each other's throats, you know. And so they, because they don't like each other, because one's Sunni, one's Shia. And what do you call most of all of the people that are against Iran? They're all like making peace with Israel. And Palestinians are in the same boat with Iran. They're the same. So it's forcing all the countries around Israel to say, you know what, we support you because we don't support Iran. You know, the enemy of my enemy is my friend. That kind of thing. And so this came out in 1989, and, you know, we were kind of just coming out of all the bad stuff. So Charlie Daniels technically was a little late to the party. But, and then, of course, you know, the 1990s when it was 1992 that, 1992 was when Clinton got elected. And, of course, a couple years after that was when the internet boomed. And that was really what everything soared. Everything soared off the internet, you know, but you know, computers were coming out in the 80s, and that was one of the big things that people were getting into. Of course, you know, Apple and all that. But as far as that song coming out in 89, that really, you know, things weren't really that bad, you know. I think that Country Boy Can't Survive coming out in 81 was a really big deal, because in 1981, the unemployment rate was 7 to 10%, and right now we're still under 5, so it ain't that bad yet. Inflation, though, was pretty high. It got up to 13% at one point in the 79-80s. So we still can reach that, never know. You know, the politicians have their way wanting to spend money. So that's how it goes. But anyway, like I said, the clock was ticking down. I got to get to work, so I appreciate everybody joining me tonight. Don't forget to go subscribe to our YouTube channel. We appreciate everybody doing that. And you can call us here every weekday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, at 515-602-9731. Be part of the conversation. Just hit 1. Or you can listen along. We're also on YouTube Live. Appreciate everybody joining us there. And just double check everything here. Good deal. So everything's going great. And So, you know, just keep on keeping on. Don't forget that Truckers for Hope. Where's that one at? Right here. Truckers for Hope. And let me get over here. So Truckers for Hope is the that's the truck show. It's coming up. And it's going to be from September 23rd to the 25th. And it's going to be up there in Mill Hall, Pennsylvania. That's up there by State College, up there in the mountains on Interstate 80, Clinton County Fairgrounds. So that's going to be on the 23rd through the 25th, Truckers for Hope. And we're planning on being there. And we hope that everybody can come out there and try to join us. You're going to have Little Texas in concert. You're going to have Long Haul Paul and Tony Justice. So right here, Friday night, Long Haul Paul, Tony Justice right there, take the stage. Saturday night, you got fireworks and then Little Texas. So there you go. And then Sunday, church service. And there'll be a Bull Ride Mania at 2 p.m. And that's your truck show. So, yeah, that's how it works. And they got tractor pulls, truck pulls. They got the hay rides, all that kind of stuff. So it's a real, to me, this is a trucker show. That's what I like to call shows like this, where it caters to the family, caters to the people. Is it's a trucker show. We don't expect to get any kind of big time, you know, booths where you're going to bring in the manufacturers and all that. That's not what's necessary. It's the small guys. And that's what's awesome about it. So check those out. Like I said, it's truckersforhope.com. Yep, truckers and the number four, hope, truckersforhope.com. And you can get all the details on that. And that's, like I said, coming up in September. We just had the Walcott Truckers Jamboree, so that was pretty interesting. So, that's what we're up to. So check us out, redneckandeyes.com. You can get to cling us all of our great sponsors. One of the sponsors I like to thank going out, and that's Trucker Tools. Trucker Tools app. Go download their app from your app store. Or you can check them out at truckertools.com, and they can break it all down to what they got going on. That's where you can book freight, track freight, and you can actually plan your route and get some fuel stops and Walmart parking, all that kind of stuff. So like I said, go check it out. Download Truckers for Tools at Truckers for Tools. Trucker Tools. And download on your app store, and that's the Trucker Tools app, and that's the app for truckers. And I appreciate everybody's support. So until next time, bam, that's an awesome song right there. So we're just going to duck on out of here. Everybody have a great evening out there, and like I said, I'll be back. Actually, Thursday, I'm going to be doing a charity ride for school supplies down here in Corpus. So I'll be doing a YouTube Live. So I won't be doing an actual radio show. So we'll be doing that, and I'll be doing some videos on either Facebook or, you know, wherever I can get online. You know, sometimes I get kicked off of Facebook Live sometimes because of the way the app works or whatever, and then the internet's not that strong, so they just turn it off because it's like, you're not getting a good signal, so we're not putting it on there, that kind of thing. So yeah, but I will be back Friday. Sit down regular radio show. So call in, like I said, 515-602-9731. Tiffany for Women of Redneck and Eyes will be here tomorrow, 7 p.m. Eastern time. So check them out. And like I said, it's same number, 515-602-9731. You can get all the details on redneckandeyes.com. So until next time, you guys stay safe, stay successful, and keep between the ditches. And we'll see you out there on the road.
Steal from Bethlehem. I rolled tobacco out of the Carolinas, California wines into Birmingham. Some people work just to survive, yeah. But up here in this cab, that's where I'm most.
Today's truckers have a lot on their mind. Redneck and I's was founded by truckers to help truckers and others to handle life on the road better. Check them out at redneckandeyes.com. When everything goes wrong and the job still has to get done, you got a redneck and I's.